Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. There is a lot of celebration in Clatsop County and throughout the state of Oregon in certain areas, certain quarters, because a company by the name of Oregon LNG announced last month that they were no longer going to pursue building a terminal on the Skipanon Peninsula in Warrenton. Why is there celebrating? What is the story behind Oregon LNG? Today we'll find out more. My guests are Brett Vandenhoevel. Brett is the executive director of Columbia Riverkeeper, a nonprofit organization which cares for and is responsible for the health of the Columbia River and the estuary. And Brett is on the line from the offices in Hood River, and we have to use my cell phone today because we've had a little technological difficulty. Are you there, Brett?
Yeah, hi, Donna.
Hi, so glad to have you. And so I'm hoping the listening audience can hear you. Okay, and I also in the studio have the co-chairs of the Columbia Pacific Common Sense Organization here. I have Lori Kaplan. Hi, Lori.
Hey, Donna.
As well as Cheryl Johnson. Hi, Cheryl.
Good morning, Donna.
And before we really dive into this story of the David and Goliath issue here, the Oregon LNG, Calpine versus the community and Columbia Riverkeeper, let's just learn a little bit about each of you. So, Brett, why don't you tell us a teeny bit about yourself, please?
Sure. I've been working for Riverkeeper for almost 10 years now, and most of that actually have been involved in the LNG project. I'm an environmental attorney, and actually went to law school because I wanted to work with community groups and work to protect clean water. So I feel like I have a really fortunate opportunity to do that. We have our main office is in Hood River, and I love spending time here in the gorge, but also the estuary is my home away from home.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Brett. And we actually should mention, I guess if there are listeners who would say, what is LNG? We'll talk about what that is in a minute. Lori Kaplan, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay. I've been here since 1996. I've worked, like many people, a whole variety of jobs in Astoria. And got involved actively with the struggle to defeat the LNG proposals in 2007. And it has been a wild ride since then. My yard does not have an LNG sign out front for the first time in, it feels like decades, so it looks kind of naked, but lovely. So we're delighted that we do not need any no LNG signs anymore.
Excellent. All right. And Cheryl Johnson.
I've been a Clatsop County resident since 1976, and I am currently a retired school librarian, spending a lot of fun time with grandchildren and in the garden these days, and first got involved in dealing with LNG in 2005.
All right, so we're going to give a little history of this for those listeners who may not be familiar with it. Liquefied natural gas, or LNG, first popped into the consciousness of the community in 2004 when the Port of Astoria signed a lease with an organization by the name of Calpine. And why don't we just go from there, Lori, and just give a little brief history of what happened
okay.
then. Because no one really, it was kind of a backdoor deal. Nobody really understood what it was about. But then a few citizens, just a few, started asking questions.
Right. And what's really remarkable is that a few of the people who were at that first Port of Astoria meeting where they signed that lease with very little questioning. I doubt that they even knew what LNG really was, the port commissioners. Some of those people who were at that meeting are still active now and have been positive, wonderful people all the way along to defeat these proposals because they got how bad this would be. I don't know if you can do a brief history.
Well, that's true. You know what? Brett did a great job. He in the current issue of Hip Fish, he gave a condensed history of what happened.
I can do a little bit. So
okay.
this first group of people ended up starting a group called River Vision, and that gradually morphed into having broader concerns, and then as I understand it, some other people or some of those original people got active and contacted Columbia Riverkeeper and conveyed to Riverkeeper how urgent their involvement was going to be, because it wasn't just a matter of common sense defeating these proposals. It would be legal battles in court and hearings and all the rest, and that's what has proved to happen. And from that, a local group was meeting for several years, and then we finally decided to become a group with a name, and that's when we became Columbia Pacific Common Sense.
All right, but let's back up for a second and say, what was it that Calpine wanted to do? What was the LNG proposal on the Skipanon Peninsula? Brett, could you maybe just tell us why citizens in the community became upset when they heard that on the Skipanon Peninsula there was going to be this huge liquefied natural gas terminal?
Sure, yeah. And so liquefied natural gas is super cool natural gas that is produced by fracking, mostly in Wyoming, Montana, and British Columbia, and shipped via pipeline. The plan was shipped via pipeline to Clatsop County, where it would be super cool to turn into a liquid, negative 260 degrees, and then put into giant ships that would then be sent to Asia, where it would be burned as a fuel. And so, you know, there's a lot of concerns all the way along the way. I mean, one that's become more prominent is the climate impacts. Once you know, fracking gas is very dirty. There's a lot of methane that escapes, and it's very bad for our climate. Once you factor in the cost of shipping this, super cooling it, it's extremely energy intensive. In fact, they had proposed to use a huge amount of power just to cool the gas. So that was one impact that people are concerned about. And also, this terminal would be a massive, massive industrial site, unlike we've seen on the lower Columbia. So, a very militarized zone because of the threat of attacks on it, large tanks, big flares, giant new dock. It'd be the largest private dredging project in the history of the Columbia River. And so we saw a broad range of concerns from salmon habitat, public safety, access to the Columbia River, climate, and then throw in the pipeline, which would be going across a lot of family farms and forest lands, and there was a lot of landowners who were concerned as well. So plopping down a massive industrial gas export terminal in the heart of the estuary was really something that we thought was incompatible with all of the fantastic work to preserve the salmon habitat, protect and restore salmon habitat, as well as the culture and heritage of the estuary.
Exactly. And I know that in the beginning people were saying, oh, it's about jobs, it's about economic development. However, as you mentioned, I think all of Clatsop County citizens and all Oregonians in general would support sustainable economic development as long as it is compatible with the culture, heritage, and resources of the area. And that was not a compatible economic development profile. So Columbia Riverkeeper was asked by the group of local citizens who had come together and said, wait, this is a dangerous thing. This is not a good thing for our community. This is not good economic development anyway. Then you reached out to Columbia Riverkeeper, and then Columbia Riverkeeper got involved and began to go to these hearings, because there were so many hearings with the, why don't you mention just a few of the kinds of the agencies that had hearings that people had to show up for?
Yeah, there were incredible hearings, and the permitting for an LNG terminal of this magnitude is happening on the local level and on the state level and on the federal level. So the hearings are happening on three different levels simultaneously, and Riverkeeper provided so many services and so much support to us as local grassroots citizens, just literally working at the kitchen table on evenings and weekends. So they were able to help us with the scientific expertise in order to make really quality comments. And the other thing that, Riverkeeper provided for us from the beginning and all the way through is to represent us in court. And we ended up going to court over many issues, over many years. And they have excellent lawyers who had our backs and spoke not only on behalf of the Columbia River, but on behalf of the citizens of the estuary.
What I think people now realize that this is an issue of national significance. It's what happened here in Clatsop County really didn't affect just the citizens of Clatsop County and Estuary Warrenton. Really, there were implications for farmers with with pipelines which would have run through their farms, and I think the nation as a whole has been watching this.
Right. What we've heard, Donna, is that other grassroots groups around the country have looked at us as a model of how to do a David and Goliath struggle, because certainly we were outspent. We used to joke when another LNG proposal was here called Bradwood Landing, and that was, they quit and actually went bankrupt in 2010. But we used to joke, we'd see their staff and their attorneys in town for a hearing, and they'd go out to lunch, and we would say that their lunch budget was bigger than Columbia Riverkeeper's monthly budget. So, you know, it was definitely not a balanced group, but as Cheryl likes to say, we had heart. We also had facts and science and passion and determination, because people knew that this was such a bad project. It would really have been a bad project anywhere, and it was hard to get straight answers from both companies. They filled in incomplete and inaccurate applications at every level of government. They testified inaccurately at public hearings. So we were not dealing with people that we would want as neighbors anyway.
Brett, what surprised you? I mean, you're an environmental attorney, and you had the expertise, and you knew the battle that was, you know, the battles that would take place over the years. Were there some surprises for you about the community, about how people came together, did the research? It's almost like everybody had a piece of the puzzle to make this work.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible community victory. You know, the legal work does not succeed on its own. It has to be tied into an organizing strategy where people are, over time, convincing, you know, the company that this is just not acceptable. So, you know, just one quick story. There was a couple years ago, there was a party in Astoria celebrating the 10th year anniversary of, you know, fighting LNG, and I actually thought people were going to be, tired and couldn't believe it was 10 years, and a lot of heads hung low, and it was this huge celebration where there was 100 people in the church basement, and it just showed the persistence and resilience and kind of that deep love of the estuary and the river and protecting what we love. So that persistence was, I think it was a surprise. And then the other piece is just the how everybody played such a key part in it. You know, there was hundreds and thousands of people who were involved along the way, from writing technical comments to having political savvy to, you know, standing on the corner with a sign, and artists, and getting people to turn out to hearings. All of that makes a huge political statement, and it ultimately how we win. So there are campaigns that Riverkeeper is working on that don't have that level of community activism, and they're not successful. And this was successful because of the people of the estuary and the smart, courageous, and creative energy that we all brought to this.
Well said, well said. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about the announcement last month that Oregon LNG, or liquefied natural gas, has pulled away from trying to build a terminal on the Skipanon Peninsula in Warrenton, Oregon. And this project, which first raised its head in 2004, had been fought by the community, by various organizations throughout the state, and especially by Columbia Riverkeeper. And suddenly this announcement, and we'll talk about the reaction to that in the second half of the program, because as when you've been pushing for a long time, and then suddenly it's gone. There's nothing to push against. And as Lori Kaplan said, now we are thinking about what are we for? What are we for? We don't have to fight against LNG anymore. And so now what do we want this Columbia River estuary to look like? So in the studio, I have Lori Kaplan and Cheryl Johnson. They are the co-chairs of Columbia Pacific Common Sense. It's an organization making a difference, looking at where this community wants to be in terms of the Columbia River estuary and development on the river. We also have by phone Brett Vandenhoevel. Brett is the executive director of Columbia Riverkeeper. It's a nonprofit organization based in Hood River. If you are not familiar with Columbia Riverkeeper, it is an incredible organization. There are ways to be engaged and involved with them. You can go to their website, columbiariverkeeper.org, and let's continue the conversation now about, we've talked in this first half of the program about this 12-year struggle to overcome this, and then suddenly, because of the community, the smart, amazing work that you all have done, and the market change, all kinds of things came together. So, Lori, why don't you address the fact that, yes, there's not the same market there was. It's the wrong direction for us to go in anyway. But without the community being involved, without every voice, it could have been approved.
Oh, I think, Donna, that's, you know, I start getting preachy and tearful at the same time about this, because it was clear that it was individual people speaking up who have effectively stopped both Oregon LNG and Bradwood Landing. Without local opposition, probably both projects, or at least one of them, would have been built by now, maybe even running by now, although with the market as it is globally, they would probably be these empty hulks standing there with their empty 17-story tanks that are each as big around as a city block, which I still can't quite comprehend that big, but that's the truth of it.
Let's talk about the future. Let's talk about where we're going from. Let's talk about the future, because now this is something that has now happened. This struggle is over. What are other issues confronting the Columbia River estuary that we need to think about, and how do people become involved in Columbia Pacific Common Sense?
We see this river as being part of our lives, part of our culture, part of our history. We're passionate about the Columbia River and about our community, and yet fossil fuel folks all across the nation and all across the world bring their greedy eyes and look at the Columbia River as a means to line their pockets with profits. And at one point in time, there were proposals for 4 liquefied natural gas terminals with pipelines on the Columbia River, and now there are 0. But unfortunately, this battle to take care of the river that we love is not over. There are proposals on the Columbia River to export coal, to export oil, to export methanol. So there is this whole surge to try and use the Columbia River in a very negative and a very destructive way. And so those of us who love the river and love our community need to stay vigilant. And then the next step in this process, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, everybody in this community who is interested in continuing to work to take care of our community and to protect our river is invited to a public meeting. Brett will be in town, so he will be there. Other staff from Columbia Riverkeeper will be in town. So at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning at the Cannery Pier Hotel, upstairs in the conference room, will be an open discussion about where do we go from here? What do we do with this marvelous collection of community citizens who are organized and activated and educated on issues about how to save the Columbia River? So this is a very exciting time in our lives. LNG is behind us. What is before us? What can we do to take good care of our river and to use this wonderful community energy that has gathered?
Yes, there are so many people who have expertise now.
Oh, my gosh. And we actually had people coming to our monthly meetings from Washington State, you know, from one gentleman kept coming up from Corvallis, and he had expertise and that passion. And so this meeting for Saturday is really for everyone who cares, just as Cheryl said. Even if you didn't know about LNG, even if you didn't get involved with the struggle against LNG, you are invited, because it's going to be a whole new adventure, I guess, and possibly even a closer affiliation with Columbia River Keepers. So there are all kinds of possibilities, and those possibilities need people.
Okay. Brett, would you like to talk a little bit about the future?
Sure. Yeah. I think that, one, this victory over LNG, you know, shows the power of community voices, and it's inspiring to me and a lot of other people to do more. For us, at River Keeper, you know, we work along the entire Columbia River. It's a long 1,200-mile river with a lot of issues, and it's really dependent on local knowledge to understand what's happening, to attend meetings, to be the eyes and ears and brains that are helping pull this together. So we're really excited to continue to work in this great partnership, work together with folks in, you know, dozens of communities up and down the river. And certainly the estuary is, you know, one of the most important places in all of North America ecologically. It's incredibly important. It's a linchpin of salmon recovery, and it's also the most threatened. So that combination requires a strong and active citizenry, which we're really fortunate to have. So we're excited to get together on Saturday morning at 11 and hopefully talk about, you know, how to structure the movement moving forward. What does that look like? How do we continue to pull that off? Because, you know, to be honest, it's different. There a lot of the work so far has been focused on this one threat, and so how do you address multiple proactive work? How do we address some of the climate issues? How do we plug into bigger state and national issues and still keep that energy up? So I think it'll be challenging, and would love for you know, to get as many different thoughts and backgrounds and resources as we can.
Absolutely. And you said something so important. The estuary is only here. This is the only estuary. The Columbia River is indeed 1,200 miles long. However, right here in Astoria, Warrenton, that's where the estuary is. And that's why this is a huge and important, powerful place, not only on the world stage. Astoria has been, you know, significant since 1811. And it continues to be an important place for tourism, for so many things that happen here and only here, which exist only here, the salmon canning capital of the world. So being engaged and involved with protecting the river, which defines this area, is really crucial. So I love that you're getting folks together for a brand new adventure here. There was a Japanese poet who said, the care of the river is not a question of the river, but of the human heart. And that is really true. So all of us who are fortunate enough to live in the Columbia Pacific region, and for all the people who come and visit here and want to appreciate and have this place remain the rare jewel it is, need to become engaged and involved, because there will be ongoing threats. So we just have a few minutes left. Brett, any last thing that you'd like to say to the listening audience?
Well, I think the most thing is just my deep appreciation of how incredible the estuary community is. And, a lot of it focused in Astoria, obviously, but many of the communities all up and down the river, I've learned so much and grown and made so many lifelong friends with banding together to protect this place. So thank you. Thank you all.
Oh, thank you, Brett. And yes, indeed, all those awful long hearings where things seemed rigged and it just all seemed so frustrating and awful, and people gave up weekends and Saturdays. Oh, my gosh, the time and sacrifice. And yet, great friendships forged and wonderful, wonderful positive energy coming from this. Lori, any last thing you'd like to say?
Yes, I think I would like to say thank you to everyone who acted, who took part in this whole process. There's no way, regardless of global trends, there's no way we could have succeeded without so many people pitching in and contributing whatever they could, money or time or talent or wisdom. My favorite is one woman who was researching these thick, like 1,000-page documents, reading the footnotes before she even knew there was organized opposition. So, you know, multiply that by hundreds and hundreds of people. And I also want to thank Columbia Riverkeeper, because they've been, oh my gosh, unbelievably outstanding, delightful to work with, but also so skilled and knowledgeable and willing to put themselves on the line and willing to come here when we needed them. And so I just say to everybody, thank you for taking part, and let's all continue to do something to enrich our community.
Yes, indeed. And the smallest little thing, whether it's dropping a piece of paper off, whether it's writing a letter to the editor, the smallest things, all of those make a difference. Every voice. Cheryl.
This was an incredible victory that really belongs to common people, and the overwhelming message that can come out of this and that has reverberations not only across the Pacific Northwest but across the entire nation is that we as citizens do have a voice, our actions do make a difference. And there are people who said to me, Cheryl, it doesn't make any difference if I attend the meetings. You can't fight City Hall. It doesn't make any difference how many stupid letters I write. The decks are stacked against us. On the contrary, we won against incredible odds. And we are a model for the rest of the nation. Citizens can act, and our voices do matter.
Oh, thank you so much, Cheryl. Well, you and Lori have just, I honor both of you for all the hard work you've done over the years. Thank you so much. This is indeed a sweet victory for you all. And really for everyone who lives here and will benefit from being part of this incredibly beautiful and rare, one-of-a-kind jewel of a community. So thank you so very much. Well-deserved. And again, Saturday at 11 a.m., if you want to be involved, and you can also reach out to Columbia Pacific Common Sense or go to Columbia Riverkeeper website. If you can't be around on Saturday, there are ways to be involved in positive, proactive work to make this community better and to protect it in the future. And my thanks to our engineer today. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brett, very much. Appreciate your time today. And Kate Brister was our engineer today. Also, my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath.
So busy we forget to breathe, and it just sends calming energy into our body so that we can handle all of the challenges of life. Focus on the things that are going well in your life, on feeling good with gratitude, and then give yourself
a loving and compassionate hug, or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.